You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew, topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles, and that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Hey, folks. Welcome to Two Chairs No Waiting, Episode 9. We got a pretty nice show for you today. It's all going to be with Otis Campbell. Well, our tribute artist for Otis Campbell, Kenneth Junkin. So we'll be joining him in just a few minutes. I want to tell you about, we want you to join our podcast. We want you to call in and talk to us and leave us some messages and tell us about the things you're interested in. I got an 800 number. 800 number where you can call and leave voicemail, and we can put you online with us here, or on the air with us here, or air or recording, whatever this is. But the number is 888-684-8515. So call and leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Or email me at floyd@mayberry.com. I'll get that too. And we may be adding some other ways where you can get back with us. Before we get on any further, I want to mention that the podcast is brought to you by weaversdepartmentstore.com. Christmas is right around the corner, so drop by and pick up a 2009 calendar, Mayberry calendar. It's great. There's a new book out called The Incredible Mr. Knotts by Stephen Cox and Kevin somebody. I can't say his name. If you listen, Kevin, you can call me at 888-684-8515. And tell me how you say your name. I'd love it. Anyway, drop by Mayberry.com and you can get to Weaver's Department Store, or go to weaversdepartmentstore.com and pick up The Incredible Mr. Knotts book or Matlock DVDs, or all the Gomer Pyle season sets are there. We're going to be talking again to Kenneth Junkin in just a minute, but we got some feedback that's very special that I want you guys to hear. If you'll remember, a couple of weeks ago, a couple of episodes ago, Paul Barmer had written in. He's serving over in Afghanistan, and he was asking about George Lindsay. He also was telling us that the guys over there are all listening to our podcast. So this past weekend, I was able to catch up with George to get a question answered that Paul had asked. Because Paul asked, how's George doing? So let's hear what George had to say.
Hey, Paul, I'm doing just fine. You know, everybody's trying to steal my Goober impression. You know, Judy, Judy, Judy. I just want to say God bless all you men. I really appreciate what you're doing. And tell everybody Goober said hey.
Hey, we want to thank George for taking the time to give that response. And, guys, we really do think about you and your inner prayers over there in Afghanistan and Iraq as well. So, you know, just know that the folks here in Mayberry are thinking about you. We're going to move on now and talk to Kenneth Junkin. Ken, this was recorded when we were on the Mayberry cruise, and there's not a lot of introduction needed. So we'll be talking to our Otis impersonator, Ken Junkin. This is part one of a two-part interview with him. Folks, we got Kenneth Junkin, who does Otis Campbell, here with us. So, Ken, say hi to everybody.
Hey, everybody. This is Otis, and I'm sober.
You expect you'll get over it?
I'll get over it.
Tell everybody where you're from and everything.
I'm from Gordo, Alabama. If your doctor ever tells you you don't have a year to live, move to Gordo. It'll seem like a lifetime.
Oh, how did you get involved doing Otis? Tell everybody about it.
Okay, well, I've been an Andy Griffith Show fan from the time it first aired in 1960, which kind of tells you about my age. That was the golden age of TV, and that's all we had to do was work, go to school, farm, and then TV was our only entertainment. And I remember Barney Fife, Don Knotts' character, just caught my attention right away, and the show was entertaining to me. And the older I got, the more I appreciated and enjoyed it, because I could begin to see what a great show it was. Not only the actors, the writers, the producers, the sets, the whole program or the company. It was just perfect. And as I went to school, we would talk about things that happened in high school, and even in junior college, we would talk about what happened on the Andy Griffith Show. And then I learned about the Rerun Watchers Club. And I said, oh, gosh, I've got to join that. And I did, and that's how I met Jim Clark. And I started getting literature and information about events and merchandise, and I ordered the shirt. It didn't fit, but I still have it. It was too small, but it's still hanging in my closet. And I went to the Nashville reunion, I believe in 91.
In Opryland.
And you were there, Alan, but I didn't know you at the time, and you didn't know me. And we were thinking about starting a chapter, and six of our guys who were in our original chapter went and saw all those characters from our from the Andy Griffith Show, the actors, and the Darlings, George Lindsay, Goober. But when Don Knotts came out on stage with his uniform on, for the first time I understand, since he was on the show, tears were in my eyes, and I looked around and everybody was, and I said, hey, this means a lot more than me. And so I just got in and I talked to Jim Clark, and he called me a few weeks later and said, you want to play in George Lindsay's golf tournament? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me go buy me some golf clubs and take a lesson. And met George, and I think Jim seen how enthused I was and how much I enjoyed the show and just being a part of it. And he started talking to me, and I told him we were getting a chapter started, and went to Mayberry Days, which was like when I was 5 years old getting up for Santa Claus. This was an adult Christmas experience with Santa. And I met Bob Scheib, who used to have the Mayberry Squad Car Rendezvous up around Troy, Ohio. And was talking to him, and he told me about it. He said, would you like to help me with it? And I said, would I? You know. And I got in with him and helped him a little bit with his event. Then I think the second year I met you, Alan, our little group met from Alabama.
Up in Mayberry Days.
Exactly, yeah. At Mayberry Days, at the second Mayberry Days, I'm sorry. And then we did the second rendezvous. I'm not sure if you were at the second one, I believe.
Yeah, I was at the second
Don
one.
Knotts, and
yeah.
I got to drive Don Knotts around for 2 days. And I still pinch myself today saying, did that really happen, you know, because he was one of the two people that I wanted to meet most at that time in my life, was Ronald Reagan and Don Knotts. So I did get to meet Don Knotts, and I got to see President Reagan's speech at the University of Alabama once. So, but then you guys, Alan, all you've done, and David Browning, used to just be out in the audience trying to work in the background, and y'all were calling me Otis, and sometimes you'd bring me up on the stage. So I just
Well, that's because you're working security.
Yes,
Kenneth is a big man. He's strong, you know, and he always works security, and that's one of the reasons he was driving Don around.
Yes.
Was because to protect him from people, you know, because everybody would just crowd around him. So I know David Browning in particular. Yes. Was always yelling, "Hey Otis, yeah, you know, come up here."
Yes, and he would bring me up on the stage, and his first lines I remember. Have y'all met Otis? He cut himself shaving this morning, and he bled so much his eyes cleared up. So that was my first. But you're right, with Don Knotts, it was amazing how we had to, I don't think he was ever threatened, but we had to lock our arms around him in a circle, me and the other security, to escort him. People were just trying to touch him. They were trying to hand him bullets. They were getting pictures. They were just in awe of him, like a superstar, which he is. And he was very humble and quiet. He wasn't the Don Knotts character. I mean, he wasn't the Barney Fife character. He was the Don Knotts character. Real laid back, really friendly, a little shy. But what stories he could tell. And it's grew, Alan. It's been one of the biggest thrills of my life to be involved with all you guys. And the best part of all of this is the fans and working with all the other tribute artists.
Well, that's what Tim had just said. We interviewed him right before Kenneth came in, and he was saying the same exact thing.
Is that right? Well, I wasn't even in here, but I could go with you guys anywhere and have fun. I mean, anywhere. The Sahara Desert or this cruise ship, either one. It's just great to, and I get 5 weeks vacation, and everybody says, well, does your company let you do do this Otis character? I said, well, I got 5 weeks vacation, and I use 90% of it at Mabry events. What better way to use it?
Right. Yeah. And so then you eventually started dressing up like Otis, because we called you Otis all the time. Yes. Anyway. And then you you went out and got you a seersucker jacket and a hat and everything.
Actually, I had it specially made at a store in Mount Airy where Andy Griffith bought his clothes up until he left at Reese's at on Main Street in Mount Airy. And Gene Reese, who's helped us so much, had me a seersucker jacket made to fit me and gave me a nice tie, and he sends me hats. And that's where I get, he sent me 2 jackets and 3 or 4 hats. I had one stolen in Tuscaloosa before I took it out of the box at the Jim Neighbors event. I'm pretty sure it was, because when I went back to get it, it was gone. And I told him that. I said, don't send me another one. Within 2 weeks, he had sent me another one. And and now at work and people at home, Gordo, they call me Otis. And I get all these jokes, are you sober? And I'll tell you where to go to get some good moonshine. And it's a lot of fun. And I do a sober Otis, because I've never drank myself. And Hal Smith, who played Otis, understand he never drank, but he could play a heck of a drunk. He was just a great actor. And also I found out later that Hal Smith did Santa Claus. And I've been doing Santa Claus for over 35 years myself. So we had more in common than I realized. Got to meet him one time at this national event for about 2 minutes. He was wonderful, super guy. I helped his dog for him, his imaginary dog, and he walked over and took it and thanked me and patted it, and it did a few tricks. And that's the only time I ever met Hal, and I wished I could have spent some time with him.
Hey, folks, that's part one of our two-part interview with Ken Junkin. He's got a lot more to say. We are also going to have Tim Pettigrew, our Goober tribute artist. He'll be in joining us at the end of Ken's interview next time as well. So, folks, I hope you'll tune back in, and we'll see you next time on Two Chairs No Waiting, your Mabry Internet radio show. Two Chairs No Waiting is found at Mabry.com/podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.